Nice to see some family and extended family out there that we don't get to see throughout the year. If you don't have a Bible this morning, you can slip a hand up and we'll put a Bible in your hands. If you don't have a Bible, please consider that a gift from the Lord to you. We say some of our ladies look a little worn out from the Christmas party yesterday. Not as much as the guys that helped, though. Some weary men. Thank you for those that served our ladies last night.
They left a note thing to help myself with a cupcake last night when I was cleaning. I don't know why they trusted me with that.
I was impressed that there was some left. So, and thank you for cleaning. Everybody have a good time?
Yes.
Yeah. Encourage you ladies, if you haven't come to that, if the Lord tarries and we do it again next year, it's always a blessing, just a good time. Merry Christmas, ladies. Good to see you. Let's pray for our service today. Encourage you guys, too, to come tomorrow night. Just a joyful time of praise, singing traditional Christmas carols, and just remembering what it is that we're really celebrating. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son, Lord, to rescue us, Lord, to save us, with the greatest gift ever offered. And Lord, today as we just flip through your word and are reminded of these truths, Father, I pray that in our heart you would make it as if it was the very first time that we heard these things, that our appreciation and wonder and awe would be reawakened at the incredible gift of you becoming man and coming to dwell with us, and to make a way, Lord, for us to be saved, to be forgiven, to be free. Lord, what an incredible, incredible thing. Free of guilt, free of shame. All in your Son, Jesus. So, Lord, make that anew in all of our hearts this morning. Strengthen us, Lord, that we would be vessels of love in these next few days as we spend time with friends and family. Lord, that wouldn't get caught up in the drama and just be reflections of you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I challenge you to follow along this morning. You won't be able to. We're going to read a lot of scripture just to remind us of the what and why of Christmas. So in the very first chapter in your Bible, easy one to find, Genesis chapter 1, we read this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In Genesis chapter 2, we read, "On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work." And you can follow along. They're going to go through these on the screens. I'll let you catch up. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. Chapter 2. Genesis 2:2, guys. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. Verses 7 and 8 says, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust on the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made." Verses 15 through 18 say, "The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, 'You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. Verses 21 and 22 say, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. In Genesis chapter 3, we read this. The serpent was the shrewdest of the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful, and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. And with that decision, in a moment of choice, sin entered the world. Sin that bears an incredible cost. Have you guys ever made a purchase of some kind without considering the true cost? Maybe your first car. You knew what that monthly payment was going to be, and that was really no sweat. But with it came insurance, fuel, oil changes. If you grew up in Maine, snow tires, tie rods, shocks, wheel alignments, right? All of that other stuff that you don't always calculate. One of my favorite examples of that was actually my drill sergeant down in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. He got this new job, and with it a nice bump in pay. So he went right out and bought himself a beautiful red Corvette. He loved that car at first. See, back then, a little different than now, but back then the Army was great about helping soldiers maintain excellent credit. So his payment, his insurance, some other expenses like child support came directly out of his check. And most of the time, that beautiful red Corvette sat because he couldn't afford the gas to drive it. He hadn't fully considered the cost. In fact, most of the time when he did get to drive it, the cost was paid by someone else, whoever felt bad enough for him that week to give him a little bit of gas money. And as you can imagine, that list was short, as there's generally not a lot of love for drill sergeants. As we just read in Genesis, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. In their case, it was eating a piece of fruit from a forbidden tree. I have sinned. And if you're within the sound of my voice, you have sinned too. In the book of Romans, we read, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's at this time of year that the world celebrates Christmas. Friends and family gather together, gifts are exchanged, greetings and wishes of good cheer to all. For us, we gather to remember the greatest gift of all, when God became man and dwelt among us. We read about it in the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, if you want to turn there. It begins in verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Jesus was born, the greatest gift ever presented. See, because like Adam and Eve, we read about in Genesis chapter 3, you might never, ever, ever have an overwhelming, irresistible temptation to eat a piece of fruit, or even vegetables, for that matter. But we all, every single one of us, have a sin problem. And like them, we fail to measure the full cost of sin. Whether we would call it big or small, God says that the price is the same. The wages of sin is death. And that price requires separation from God for all of eternity. But there's a cost on earth here as well, in the present. In Romans chapter 6, starting in the 16th verse, we read, "Don't you realize that you have become the slave to whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we've given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you've become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature," I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. "Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led even deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You're now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free, free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. The cost is overwhelming, impossible. Again, Romans chapter 3 says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God is how that next verse starts. But God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice of sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. So the Christmas story doesn't end with a baby being born in a manger in the city of Bethlehem. That baby grew to be a boy and then a man. Unlike you and I, he did so without sin, without ever crossing the line. Tempted like you and I are, but never gave in once, because if he had, we never had a prayer. Jesus, name above all names, the only one to ever live a perfect life, then died a horrible death, sentenced to do so for our sin. Sentenced to do so, but did so voluntarily, to pay the price required by a God of justice who loved us enough to send his son, a gift of love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. Have you guys ever received a package or a letter that you had to sign for? Or maybe you were expecting something really awesome, and you knew it was coming, an announcement was received, or maybe an email sent, and you even had a tracking number, and you were waiting and waiting for this gift to arrive. And the day finally came when you knew it was going to arrive, and you drove in the driveway, and you found that sticker stuck to your door. Yes, we have a package for you, but there's something required of you. You must sign for it to claim your gift. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. The greatest gift, friend. That's what we celebrate on Christmas. A gift is offered, but it must be received. We must believe. We must choose him. If you've done that, celebrate with joy and tell everyone that you know. If you haven't, there's no better day than today to receive him as your Savior and Lord. Myself and others will be up front to pray with you afterwards, if you choose to do that today. To the rest of you, God bless you. Merry Christmas. Your gift is a short service today. Let's close in prayer. Father, what an incredible gift you offer us. Lord, I don't know everybody's story in this room, but I know my own, that most of my life rejected you out of ignorance. Turned my back, was was the Lord of my life, the boss of my life, and did what I wanted to do, but yet you're merciful. Can't imagine sending one of my own sons to die in someone else's place, but that's what Christmas is, that you sent your son so that we could receive forgiveness, Lord, so that we could be cleansed. Thank you for that. Lord, help us to get the power of that, Lord, to remember and to rejoice so that we can't help but to tell people around us that we love, Lord. And to realize the full cost of sin. You offer this incredible gift, but you're a God of justice. And in rejecting you, Lord, we spend an eternity trying to pay a price that will never be paid. That requires separation from you, which is so sad, when what you offer to us is free and available. Father, help us to remember that every interaction that we have with people this time of year. Lord, I know there's a ton of folks that are wounded and hurting, and this is a real hard time. And Lord, use your kids here, your sons and your daughters, to minister to a hurting world looking for hope. Thank you for the kids out back, Lord, and just bless them, bless those that have served them this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.